If you were at the bottom of the sea, the bottom of the Pacific, or in one of the great trenches in the sea, and you were in a bathyscope or something down there, and you could look round, you would see the most amazing creatures there. Things that are much lighter than a jellyfish and big, moving around by extraordinary methods at immense pressures, pressures that, well, if we were down there, we would be crushed in a moment. But they can exist. Where have they come from? The globe before the Earth globe. What is its structure? It's etheric, yes, it's etheric. And because there's been a slight change already, these creatures are going to be able to come in greater quantities, greater variety, I should say. Because there's been a shift of pressure, slightly. Where else could they have evolved, for heaven's sake? The life force has used a similar form in the etheric globe and elaborates with its etheric matrix. It can carry over the etheric matrix of a creature evolved on this globe into this one under certain circumstances, and that's what's happened. Now that is that's a way out example. But you're beginning to understand now that this globe is which houses the etheric matrices of long lost species. We all cry, we weep about 30 species a day being lost to the planet, and 200 species of 30 million insect species. I don't know, what does it matter? Nothing is lost. Nothing is lost. All doth undergo a sea change into something rich and strange. We're no different. We go into a change when we step out of one room into the other, from death into the life hereafter. But what a change is offered. And if we evolve our consciousness, as we can do by intervening in this life on this planet, we take a greater and greater hold over our destiny. That's the true meaning of destiny. Destiny is not kismet. You can't interfere. It's going to happen to you no matter what happens. Don't struggle in the war. If we're going to win the war, we're going to win it. Why do you want to stick your neck out? That's destiny. And so, there's a globe, an etheric substance, and there is another forming, or there is another one ahead of us, which is globe E, in which advanced forms which will materialize eventually are resting or evolving. Anything worthy, advanced, is there. Anything that is got to wait for another round will stay there and be picked up by the next round and carried along a little further. And humans are not exempt from this. They're carried further by the next round. Nobody likes to wait for it, but that's the truth of the matter. But that's not so important. Astrally, same thing. The demons and devils of Roman Catholicism, they're not lost forever. Here they are. An old globe. A tatty old astral globe waiting for the round to come around again and get an opportunity to express its forms. But here, this is the important part. Globe A is a mental globe, and many old mental thought forms are still incarcerated there. And if the life, when the life wave comes around again, perhaps some of them are useful and can be restructured. And when we think, you can either think there, or you can lose the images that you produce, which go there, or you can meditate, you can structure, you can visualize, and you can remember. And those images tend to go here, and here, and here, depending on how gross they are, how dense they are. New car, pretty dense. Goodwill to mankind, empathy for every living thing up here. And we will inhabit these globes. We are preparing the globes that we will inhabit in later lives, in later rounds. And so the importance of meditation takes on a new meaning. We are the masters of our destiny. We can be, I'm sorry. We can be the masters of our destiny. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. The captain of my soul. Famous words. Everything in your life will get new meaning. Things that for you are now dreary, and you feel that you can't go on. If you proceed with this sort of study, but don't forget what I said a little earlier. Not that we must run away from this life which the soul has chosen and go and sit in a Hindu cave somewhere. Not that we must live in this world less, but that we must live in both worlds more, because you are expanding. Is it impossible for you to accept that you, the entity you, in its sum totality, can be the expression of the evolution of two different streams? The personality stream, mankind, and a soul stream, a higher entity that is formless, a rupa, a rupa. Rupic means form. A rupa means no form. Can you conceive of beings that have no form, no space, no time affecting them? It's what it is. And they're in subtle matter. And as I say, as they begin to probe dark matter, they're going to be aware of hierarchies of life and dark matter. I'm going to describe to you now a vision which took me, as I'm taking you, I hope, into the year about 3000 AD. It happened to me one morning at about 8:45 on the 5th of December, 1990. And while I was having it, I heard Mr. Hayes arrive for work and went on with it. And when it finished, I went downstairs into the office and dictated it. All fuzzed up, you know what I mean? Trying to live in two worlds at once. Not that we must live in this world less, but that we must live in both worlds more. You wouldn't say I was easy pie in this world, would you? No, I ain't. Nor should you be. I've seen some of them. Some of the yogis coming over from India, and you have to help them across the road. And they are perfected men. And they tell you to observe the strictest disciplines. Puff, puff. I say this to you because I want you to use your discrimination. There are lots of guys who are taking an easy ride, supposed to be teachers of the wisdom, clairvoyance, mediums, psychics, lots. Be sure that you're not being taken for a ride. All right, I'm going to take you for a lovely ride. I can't prove it. Who was the lady that wanted proof for? No. On the planet, in a market square, 3,000 years from now, or a little later, the planet is immensely populated. Not because there are so many people, but because the people that were there in our day have been spread out. The great deserts have been reclaimed. The masses of people in China and India and other places have had the opportunity to have, as it were, their own piece of land, and everything is spread out. But where there are marketplaces, you can feel. That was what was important, not the numbers. Doing a count wouldn't have helped. It was the feeling of this immense, not British population, global, and the feeling of things being global, which is what lies ahead of us. There's no poverty. And everyone is immaculately dressed. So that when I'm wearing my finest clothes, it seems not only are they out of date, but they're out of style, passé. Well, you could understand that. I was probably in a mental structure, and even if I had materialized a garbed form, you would understand that the garments would probably not suit that age. They're all wearing stuff which is up-to-date and attractive and not ornate or gaudy. Nobody tries to show off there. Nothing like the changes in fashion that we see today. Everything blends in nicely with the times and the setting. Old buildings, which we would regard as old today, are things that have become preserved and greatly revered by the population. They look on these old buildings that, well, I'm looking out here, it's a pretty dreary sight. It wasn't anything like that, but some of our better buildings are preserved. They're looked after and don't impede the growth and development of what is new and going on in the future. There are droves of people mingling about happily, going about their pursuits. Very little work is being done. There's no work to do. Not needed. When I say that, I'm implying that I had affect from it as well as seeing it. There was affect. I was functioning in my various bodies simultaneously and therefore picking up feeling as well as actually seeing it. Very little work is being done. Immense, lush, grassed pyramids. This was quite an astounding thing. The center of the city is laid out in such a way that it can accommodate large crowds of people. I don't mean disorderly throngs. There was no sign of any disorderliness. But space had been used very effectively, just as stairs and steps and things gives extra space. So there were, in the center of the city, where people tended to accumulate, huge pyramid structures, high, pointed, just steep enough so that people could climb them if they wished, and they were covered with lush grass, not the short golf course type of grass, but a lush grass which gave you a pleasant feeling as you walked through it. And families were taking the kids up to the top of these pyramid-like grass mountain structures. And people loved to do it because it was taking them back to nature. At the top, there were concert halls and places of recreation where marvelous views were offered, views of surrounding countryside. But there was nothing obtrusive. I didn't see any freeways, but I could sense that there was movement somewhere out there, suggestive of them. Families go hand in hand and climb to the top. On top there are concerts and gatherings that people love. There is something existentially for you, no matter what you want or like, you will find it somewhere in that center. There's no city, there's no ghastly. Leisure and time to spend is notable everywhere. Everything is nicely blending, and so shockingly new that it reminded me of the war years when you'd walk into a car park and the Americans had sent you over a regiment of tanks, and you got onto the tanks and they were new, and the rubber smell of the tracks. You got inside and there were new crash helmets and there was new wireless and microphones and new this and new that. And that's how it appeared to me, because it was so totally different to anything I'd ever seen. Things that we regard as essential today had almost totally disappeared there. Simple things that we would regard as important were just not there. Nobody missed them because they've probably not seen them either, but I noted it. All things like traffic jams, crowds of motor cars parked on the street and traffic, it's all gone. It's all gone. The freeways are there in the background, which you can sense. You can't see them. The predominance is given to people. People are important, not governments, not parties. It's the people that are important. And if they have simple wishes, those simple wishes are catered for. They can express themselves. And they're loving it. Not remarking on it particularly and saying, oh, isn't this wonderful? It's theirs. It belongs to them. And as I say, it was creating in me retaliations, reactions, which I wasn't proud of, because the first time you see everybody lounging you around, you say, well, what a lot of, you know, layabouts. But that was their life. There was no need to work. The machines and the computers or whatever they were doing it. It's just the way they live. I didn't quite understand this. Slogans have become more refined. When they talk about a thing like Coca-Cola, it's sort of semi-sung. And there was a lot of that. People were semi-singing things. And I was reminded of some children that often sing everything. As they grow up and unfold, they lose it. And it was extraordinarily beautiful. And the drinks that were available, that people were taking, were like rarefied wine, but they were not alcoholic. They had, how I know that, I don't know, but that's what I was saying about picking up senses. That there was I couldn't even say it was like a fruit juice, but it was very lovely, and people loved it. Any product of the earth like wine and fresh fruit. These are extolled, almost glorified by the population. And even when they are copied and changed, the reference is back again to the products of the earth. There is nothing that people are consciously trying to be an expression of the earth, not wanting to stick their heads up and show themselves. There's a tremendous extolling of truer values of nature, and they're very conscious about it. And anybody who breaks these rules, these laws about nature, are guilty, as it were, of infradig, what do you call it? Well, people are also able to go back to their roots. It's as if they can go back to their roots and strengthen themselves by somehow or the other participating in pleasures which they remembered as the, and that was the strange thing, was the multiplicity of occupation. I don't mean business occupation, I mean availability of experience, existential for everybody. They and they tended to meet together. I had a feeling that a lot of them had similar genes, and that they thrived in each other's company, and they chose each other's company, and they had things like similarity and a love for history. They loved history. And that group would tend, not all of them loved it, but this particular group loved history, and that group loved geology, whatever it was. And they found their natural levels, and when they grew up, they could consult their genetic code, they could look at their horoscopes, they could see what they would tend to prefer, instead of making the eternal mistakes that we make and contradictions and hurting ourselves and hurting others in the process. The lawns are not like mowed lawns. The grass is lush and you climb the banks and it's a long way up to the top of the pyramids. People get a view of whatever interests them. There's no emotional gushing, hysterical laughter. And you might say, well, who wants to live in Sweden? But but that's how it is. I can only report. I don't say that I agree with everything. It's certainly not a paradise state that I could sit down and work out. It was something that came. People have wonderful, I can only call it natural hairstyles, and men and women are the same. There's no difference in the fact that they wear their hair in such a way. Man, woman, their hairstyles are whatever they want, and there's no distinguishing them. And their hair is wonderful and natural. It comes down like a U, but somehow is rolled and joined up on the top of their heads. The U is like the inverted Libra. Libra rules a hairstyle which is like that, and the shoulders. That's Libra, as you probably know. The hair was long in many cases, and the theme of it was a sort of laurel wreath. Men, women would have their hair plaited and put as a sort of laurel wreath. But then the whole tone of the place was Greek-Roman. That may have something to do with me. There were no hairy beasts in the population, or wild professors. That sort of thing has gone. It's gone. People can be outlandish in some other way, but not like that. Wild and woolly people. Everybody was washed and dressed, not ostentatiously, not making any point of it. You couldn't tell the sexes. I recognized many people amongst them, and I could tell that those faces were faces that represented 20, 40 lives were in their faces. They were an agglomerate of faces derived from different lives. And that again was impression. You can't, somebody was talking about the sixth root race. The intuition is there, and this is what I'm trying to express in my crabbed, restricted way, is that all the senses are working, including those which are intuitional rather than analytical. Proof, facts, analytical. You couldn't tell the sexes. I recognized most of them were men, and I was surprised that they didn't remember me. It could have been that I was in a different vehicle, perhaps a mental vehicle. I wanted to join in everything. There was so much on the go. I'm sure there was the hurry and bustle of business somewhere else, but not in this part where I was. It would have been the equivalent of the Durban beachfront. I had a very happy childhood. And on the Durban beachfront in South Africa, which was a lovely subtropical climate, your parents could drop you there. Go on, kids, out you go. You get out of the car, and it's yours for the day. And there are paddling pools and swimming, low, shallow swimming baths, and there were sands and goodness knows what, and nobody looked after you. And you got out, and you were 8 or 9 or 10 or 11 or something like that, and everything was there, and you just enjoyed it. And I only tell you that because this was the... It was a roots experience. There you are. It was a root experience for me to feel once again this bonhomie, this lovely smoothness. The public places were thronged. I'm nearly finished. The public places were thronged, but they weren't all going shopping. They weren't in the business center because they were going shopping. They weren't carrying bags and looking like mules. They were there because they wanted to be there, and there was lots of lovely, pleasurable entertainment there, and everything, as I keep stressing it, disciplining the emotions. They were free. They were free. The weather was bright, and it looked as if it was being controlled somehow. I couldn't see the sun anywhere, but it was bright and clear air. The clothes they wore was durable, but there was no need to wear thick clothing or wear tight waterproof clothing because the climate had been controlled. They were people I knew. I could have been in Britain, but no immediate neighbors. They were people I'd known in the past, and I was dying to talk to them as I hadn't seen them for so long. I wanted to share the... And then in a strange way, people that you hadn't known in this life were there. And you were looking at people that you had known in previous lives, and somehow their faces rang a bell with you. As I say, I'm talking about a condition which we don't have today. It's senses in the sixth root race. I wanted to share this experience with them. I wasn't euphoric. It was amazing to me, but not to them. To them it was natural. And there I said, perhaps it was 1,000 years in the future. In actual fact, it was 3,000 AD, which, yes, that's right, 1,000 years. There was no competition or competing in any way. To my eyes, the person from the past, everything was built, was calculated to spread the crowds out. That's what I said at the beginning. There was a deliberate return to deliberate effort to incorporate the past in that day. They constantly try to draw in things that were their cultural heritage, the roots of that culture. They were trying to draw in the whole time. Instead of having what we would say were narrow passageways in the streets or entering the streets, entranceways would always go up to something. There were steps everywhere. This is what happens when you relate a vision. You repeat yourself according to what you felt rather than what you saw. You keep repeating yourself. This gave people a chance to exercise themselves and to spread the crowd out. There were very few signboards. It was as if the people know the place well and gather to hear concerts, although I didn't hear the music. These were regular features, and people knew where they were, and all they had to do was to be at a certain place and a certain time, and they could be sure that this particular event would occur, especially with regard to the music. A whole central area was given over to people's leisure, nothing competitive. Everything was designed and built and structured to take the pressures off the population. What would have been a high point in our lives would have perhaps been a concert to them. It was just an everyday event. The people appreciated everything. Anything that was old was almost revered, even the music. If you wanted to, you could hear every conceivable kind of music. If it was Mozart, you could go to any one of his concerts. The impression was, I'm not suggesting that all these concerts were being played by musicians, nor am I suggesting that they were recorded. There was something else. Something else. They had captured the expression of an orchestra perfectly. So without the orchestra, that could be repeated. How? I don't know. If it was Mozart, you could go, Nothing was jarring. People weren't expected to dress in such a way as to attract the opposite sex, or to show off, or to gain advantage. I'm reminded straight away when I met, after the war, I met a girl in the street that I'd known during the war, and I said, well, how are things? She says, you know, I miss the army. She said, just putting on a uniform each day and not having to worry about what you're wearing, and your hats and so on. She said, I miss all that. And it was this sort of experience. Nobody shows off or tries to gain an advantage. I was doing Saturn retrograde at the time in my astrology, which is without tension. These were all benign things. It was a marketplace, centers of cities, high and tall things. There were no well-known public figures walking with the crowds. In fact, there were no important people. Government was in the hands of the people. Nobody strove for public office. There was a changing parade of people and types in the centers of the city. Apart from slogans, the commercial factor seemed to be absent. Nearly finished. No competition, and then somehow or the other, I thought I'd like to see Washington because it has a rather, for me, an attractive facade. You get the Supreme Court and the steps and the White House and so on, and you could put it together and you could almost cast a Greek tragedy in front of these public buildings. Poverty has disappeared. People are better educated. There's heavy reliance on all the old arts and exhibitions. Technology would have introduced the element of tension. There is no threats, no disease, no illnesses or beggars. Bearded individuals suggestive of hippie were not there. Everyone had hair. I'm sorry, I can't get it. It was the center of the city, but things weren't crowding in, nothing dangerous. Even the crowds didn't want to crush each other, which is the opposite of Saturn. It was Saturn retrograde, I can leave that. It was a bright day, but the sun was not remarked. The clothes people wore were suit-like, but not suits. All right. So that's that vision. Now, I have been long-winded over it, but I felt that you should not judge by results. You should not expect that because you're going to have a vision, you're going to float down the main street 3 feet above the ground just because you've had a vision. Some of it can be damned hard work, especially recall. Some of you can't, as you know, even recall your dreams, can you? The difference between a dream and a vision is intensity, the energy that's available in a vision. It's almost as if in the vision people put their feet down and it's as if the feet are creating static sparks on the whole of the soul. The energy in a vision makes it completely different from anything which you would normally class under a dream. Who would like to ask a question? If anybody wants to go, please go.
This vision, on which round were they?
1,000 years from now, it would be in this round. Fourth round, yes. It must have been because Washington was there. It could have been globe I think there were far too many familiar faces for it to be a later globe. Remember that many of those who inspire you, the muses they were called in ancient Greece, are from globes and other schemes. You're always saying, well, what will I do when I become a master and I get perfection and so on? There's a lot of work out there. A lot of work, even if it's only to be a solar, a planetary logos of a itsy-bitsy planet somewhere. It's quite a lot of work.
Can you explain something about Plato? I think you mentioned that he was on the sixth round. When you say that, do you mean that he came to Earth, as it were, before his time, two rounds early? Or do you mean that in some sense all the rounds going on concurrently?
No. Let me just take Plato. Plato has been through this whole scene in the fourth round earlier. And he has achieved. And in achieving, he has earned the right to hold up his spiritual unfoldment. He himself is an arupic entity, no shape, no form. But he will express himself when the need is there through individuals or groups that are on the earth.
So it's a bit irrelevant to refer to him in terms of rounds at all, in a sense. He's left the rounds.
Well, it's very hard. I mean, if you're talking about a person who is arupic and has no form, and somebody says, yeah, who's this guy Plato you're talking about? What do you say?
Yeah. But I mean, in a sense, it's a measure of a status or a level achieved rather than when.
The fact is that he has achieved. He has achieved and gone into higher states, and he's known as the Namanakaya or a divine rebel. And by divine rebel, we mean an individual who has achieved but feels for humanity. And rather than go on into other states of consciousness or other solar systems, universes, he prefers to wait and to help for as long a period as he can those on the earth who he believes could affect the earth.
Dr. Baker, when you talked about the vision of the future, that the people there, you sense, were together and had the same interest. If a person dies here in his life, goes to the sphere that the person has earned in his life, do you hear me?
Not really. No, I didn't get the last sentence.
When a person in this life dies,
yes,
and goes to the sphere that a person
goes where?
To a sphere.
No, I didn't say that.
No,
goes to Devashan, which is, has no space, no shape, nothing.
Yes, and then we end up in the sphere or at the place.
Yeah.
Now, if that person were a man and he goes to one place and the wife dies, may have had a different life, goes to another place, love being the strongest force, would you say that?
No. You're trying to make it like that.
No, I'd like to ask you.
Oh, I see. All right. Well, the chances are, you see, you can't rationalize when you've thrown off the brain. You throw the brain off, you've thrown away your rationalizing mechanism. And just as you can't rationalize in a dream, with qualifications, some people can say, I'm dreaming this, I know who I am, I know I'm not going to put up with this situation any longer. Yeah, there is that sort of thing. But when people die, they tend to throw off their rationalizing faculty. And when that has gone, you don't then say, well, I'm going to wait here till my wife comes along. I know she won't be very long. She'll be here sooner or later, and I think together we'd make a good team together here on the globe. You can't do it. You're caught up in the stream, and you will gravitate to the people you love, you mentioned love, to the kind of things that you want. Whatever you desire, you will gravitate towards. And if a person ends up in a hell of a state, below the level of the earth and so on. It's the kind of state they had desired on earth that has landed them there. And I don't want to be unkind or hurt anybody, but once a man is over 40 or 50, he will tend to love his golf very much indeed. And the chances are that there is a paradise state in Globe E or in Devashan where he can play golf 24 hours a day. And he can have all his mates with him. And if you can get him away from that golf course,